welcome again to another episode of Take Foul. We are done with the first and second round of the playoffs. We are coming to you on Wednesday, May 22nd, late afternoon before game one of Timberwolves Mavericks. And what I thought we would do is do some big picture stuff because we haven't exactly, you know, delved into every single series and gotten into the nitty gritty. But I think what we are actually pretty good at is larger narrative stuff, you know, stuff that is going to be remembered or affect things moving forward. Or affect how we think about things. So we are doing winners and losers of the playoffs thus far. Anything to sort of get into before we get into winners and losers? Any just sort of thoughts about...
It seems like you had some thoughts on fan... No.
Fan what?
What they give out to fans.
Oh, and, it's a part of my winner loser, so okay. I'll save it.
Why don't we just get right into it then? Should we start with winners or losers?
Let's start with the losers.
Yeah, we are a hating ass we're
always
show,
hating.
So.
Always hating. I'll go first. Do you want to keep going one by one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, works for me, Mike.
So, start off the losers. Some people say the best ability is availability, but I think the best ability is accountability. Mm. Hand up. I was wrong. It's hard to be right, but it's harder to admit when you're wrong. This playoffs.
No, it's not. Disagree. It's harder to be right.
I think I've got two series correct, two series winners correct. I picked the Wolves to lose in the first round. Definitely picked them to lose in the second round. And hand up, that was incorrect. At the start of the season, if we look back, there was a lot of contention on when I said the Wolves were going to win a playoff series. That caused some negative discourse here, and I was wrong. They won two playoff series, and that they could very well win a third, you know, and I was wrong about these Wolves, and that's on me. Beyond that, I've been wrong about a lot of other teams as well. I was wrong about the Bucks. I was wrong about the Sixers. I was wrong about the Suns. I was wrong about the Thunder. I was right about the Mavs. I think that's the only one. Is that I was kind of right on so far.
So your first right about the loser is you. Okay, all right.
Me. Cross I'm the loser. Yes. Yep. Thought I'd get ahead of it. I'd get in front of this. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, congrats. Like there's nothing really bad to say, or like there's no defense. They've just been easily a top two team in the West. Like, I think they were better than the Nuggets in that series. He obviously won, but like in more so than not, you know. And I would say they've been playing better than these Mavericks. So yeah.
All right, Ike, your first loser.
Where to start? I'll go D'Angelo Russell. Just like an embarrassing series for him, along with just like a one-for-one swap in terms of the lineup between he and Conley, and just kind of exposing how much of a loser player he is.
Yeah, that's a good one. I saw that graphic go around. That was like, I think last year, before the Conley trade, the Wolves had like the worst net rating at some point.
That was crazy. You know, just
D'Angelo Russell with Mike Conley. Mike Conley with D'Angelo Russell. And there was a stretch where the Wolves had the worst net rating in the NBA with that starting five. And that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they're just.
Go ahead.
It also speaks pretty highly of Mike Conley. You know, like he was at one point for like a week and a half the highest paid player in the NBA. And like it shows why, like the value of a real true point guard and the efficiency you can have with
a teammate, kind of guy like that. So. Not D'Angelo Russell, like a real member of a team.
Yeah, you know, there's. I'm not sure if D'Angelo Russell will ever, you know, get away from those. Those Nick
he's just
Young
like
days.
Literally, yeah. Separate from that, he just like he's not going to be like a starting player on a really good team. Like the best way you can use him is like a six, like a Russell Westbrook, like just a guy who's like fun to have or like effective when you need random scoring off the bench. Like,
yeah,
he's not a real part of a real team ever. He won't be.
I agree with you, but the problem with that is that I also feel like he's sort of a rhythm player and has not been good when he's come off the bench and been asked to like score in bunches.
Another part is that he's just like
hard to fit in. We're spending a lot of time on D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, let's move on. My big picture losers is my first thought about this was the viewers of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yep, I had the viewers.
But I expanded it to the viewers. And why I say that is the injuries to stars but also key role players has just been completely berserk, it feels like, this year. And sure, you know, you go into every year in the NBA with injuries to various players in the playoffs, but it felt like a lot more. So just to rattle off a few, we have Jimmy Butler, Giannis, Dame for a few games, Julius Randle, OG went out, Mitchell Robinson re-aggravated his ankle, went out, Bogdanovich, it suddenly was gone forever. Donovan Mitchell missed a few key games. Jared Allen, who apparently could have gotten some sort of injection and played, but there was some sort of – he had like a bruised rib, I think. And there was some sort of operation where they did the same injection to an NFL player and they accidentally punctured his lung. Did you hear about
Ross Taylor? Oh, yeah.
So he
killed him.
That's kind of scary, and we're playing the Celtics, so
needles.
I don't know. Which I understand as a human, but I'm also like, come on, bro, get in there. Caris LeVert. And so all of those were Eastern Conference. Sure. And then the Zion injury was terrible. Because I really thought the Pelicans could have put up like a decent fight against the Thunder with Zion, but he's gone. And then Kawhi Leonard. So, you know, I mean, the Kawhi thing is Kawhi and Zion are tough because
they're expected.
Yeah. And then. I think I – yeah, and I still forgot Kristaps Porzingis for my list here. So there's just been a ton of guys who have been injured. And it has sort of shifted things in a dramatic way. And I think that's kind of been shitty.
Okay. Also think the Eastern playoffs have been a little bit better than I expected them to be, probably. Like, we've had a few, like, decent games, you know. We've had, like, a Game 7 series, even if that Game 7 wasn't great.
Oh, that was awesome.
You know, it's like the Knicks and Sixers series. That was, like, decently back and forth, at least like game wise, right? Like that was like a good series, you know. But like I always like I didn't think the East was gonna be a very like I didn't think it was gonna be a very entertaining. Like I think we've gotten more out of the East about playoffs it is, than though, I had
like I think originally. We'll probably still reach the same conclusion and like the main problem with it all. But yeah, the Knicks have been competitive and fun,
sure,
and that's been
yeah, but enjoyable. It's like they all just
the teams are
kind of got injured. They all just like you know, capping off with Jalen Brunson fracturing his hand at the end of the third quarter. And by the way, that was his dominant hand, Mike. He's a lefty.
He's a lefty?
It's sort of like a poetic end.
Still.
How many guys they've been injured. Quick sidebar. What do you think about this talk of I don't know. There's been a bunch of idiots like Chandler Parsons sort of criticizing Thibs for playing their guys too long.
That rolls into my next loser, actually, is Tom Thibodeau. I'm a Thibs guy, and I disagree with all the criticism of, like, driving his guys into the ground, yada, yada, yada. But, like, at some point, if you don't have a super-duper talented roster, you have to find ways to win games, you know? And, like, that's what he does. Like, he won a lot of games for the New York Knicks with a team that's, like, not all that great, you know? Yeah, like, he's putting his best players out there. It's like, I don't know. I feel like it's harsh to blame him for the issues, and he'll always be cursed by the Derrick Rose injury. You know, like that will always follow him. But it was like I don't know if you watched that episode, but Big Cat said like Derrick Rose is probably going to get hurt. He was probably going to tear that ACL eventually, anyways. You know, like I don't think that was just kind of a spurt. Like that wasn't anything that could have really been prevented the way he played, and because he had really weak ankles in college. He had bad leg injuries in college and high school. You know, it was kind of just a ticking time bomb in a lot of ways. But all that blame
is like, placed on them. Like, what do you want him to do?
All
man.
He's doing
like,
is kind of coaching to just basketball
games. In the playoffs. You try to win every single game. Like, you don't bring in guys who haven't been playing. Like, it was pretty obvious they were incredibly thin and like super reliant on Brunson and like hard on Anobi and.
Yeah, I think it's like he would have played Bogdanovich. Yeah. He would have played Julius Randle. He would have played Mitchell Robinson. Yeah, exactly, if he could have, but he couldn't. And so what are you going to do? You're going to play Shake Milton?
If he could.
You know? We've had the Shake Milton experience.
Fuck no, he sucks.
He was terrible. You're going to play Jacob Toppin in the playoffs? We saw Jericho Sims come in, I think it was game 6. In the Pacers series, and he comes in and they force an 8-second violation where he looks completely lost. He did not see the floor again, you know, and that's just sometimes it's tough for young guys to see the court, even if they have been in the rotation. Like Peyton Watson got completely played out of the Wolves Nuggets series, and that
Timberwolves won 7 guys.
Yeah. That was questionable to me, because I thought Peyton Watson could have helped, but like it is true that sometimes earlier in the series he would go out there and look completely frazzled. So,
I also say Thibs gets the most out of his guys. Like he absolutely like guys play hard for him because they like playing for him. You know, like I do think like that's a piece of it. And I think it's a lot of guys who have never played for him that will talk shit on like the way he operates this thing. Right. But like you hear like Joakim talk about him or Taj Gibson talk about him.
He clearly
like,
adore him. And those confidence are, like, in, I think like his main guys
goes a lot further than what
relies on them heavily, which probably like,
yeah,
helps them in terms of being like a superstar.
One last thing point, the injuries that the guys were getting were all just like freak injuries. It didn't have to do with like fatigue and you know, like they say like the soft tissue, like, or yeah, you know, like muscle injuries have to do with fatigue and
wear and tear and shit.
You know,
yeah,
like yeah. broken ankles and like yeah. stuff like that. It, you know, broken hand. That stuff mm-hmm. is just that. That's just unlucky. Okay, Ike.
Matt Ishbia. Just some like just clown behavior. Like I don't know. It's just like unserious, like 2K team building stuff where he's like trapped. And like, what are you gonna do? Like firing your coach after? Like I don't know. They're just like kind of trapped.
Yeah, I had Ishbia as well. They're gonna be in second apron hell. They're stuck with Bradley Beal, who is terrible, has a no trade clause. You know, I don't know who. No one wants Bradley Beal, and if they are to move Bradley Beal, they'd have to move their few and far between draft picks out with him, I think. And then they just have such little flexibility to tinker around with the fringes too. Tough spot to be in. Go ahead.
I also had the Suns. It's like they went all in on just in the worst way possible, kind of. Like it felt like they were kind of building like a solid structure and just feels like they sold everything.
I mean, they just like saw Brooklyn house cards and were like, yeah, that's complete. That may be worse. Like, try that.
Yeah.
I mean, even that almost worked if he was like an inch back further. But
they had Bruce Brown. Like, they had Nick Claxton. They had some other guys around the fringes that were on like team friendly deals that were. You know, usable, and I just remember before the season, they're like, "Oh my God, look at how like the minimum guys they've picked up. Like, look, they got Eric Gordon, they got you know Royce O'Neal, they got Yuta Watanabe, who they traded away. You know, like they got Kata Bates-Diop. Maybe Kata Bates-Diop will come in and be their fifth starter and shake things up and space the floor. It's like, come on, bro, these guys suck, man.
Yeah,
they're minimum guys for.
They were like, they were down to like a six.
Hey, we're D-op guys. Yeah. We are D-op guys.
And like, they fucking went to Okogie, and you know, shout out Josh Okogie.
Everyone was like, Okogie, you know? Okogie, like, he came in and he played tough. Like, he made, like, two threes.
I agree. He was good. He was actually good, but it's just... No. He missed some big free throws for us down the stretch there in game four. Okay, so let's see, where should we go here? I think, this sort of goes along with this, but I think small ball took an L. And I think...
small ball's dead. You killed small ball.
Drew Eubanks was so unplayable against the Wolves. Ike, yes, he was. You're right. Eubanks guy, he's pretty good.
He played good.
Yeah.
No minutes for Eubanks. He played good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
He was like looked at the.
Did he stay there?
He's like, oh, he didn't play. Thought he was good. Whatever. You know, and they like went to KD at the five lineups. For various stretches, the Wolves still punish that. Offensive rebound hell for the Suns. And then on the other side of the bracket, Oklahoma City got absolutely cooked on the glass by Daniel Gafford, by Derek Lively, by PJ Washington. Small ball isn't going to work in 2024. And even during the heyday of small ball, you know, where like the Rockets traded away Clint Capella and shit, and like had PJ Washington, or no, what's it, PJ Tucker, just going through hell every single night. The NBA has always been about skill plus size, right? Like there hasn't been a time where Kevin Durant at 7'1" or 7 foot or whatever isn't like getting his and being a dominant player, because it's skill plus size. But yeah, I think that's it for small ball.
Yeah.
It's over. I mean, especially when you have these fucking 7 foot two dudes in France coming out every fucking season, it's like, it's over. There's no more 6'8" centers. It's done. And that breaks my heart. Am I next? Except Nas. Well, he's 6'10", yeah. Right? Yeah, he's 6'10". NBA officiating is another one of my losers. It just seems like every single night after every game, like, officials are getting torched for a variety of reasons. I know you are a fan of all these carries and travels, Sam, but me, personally, I think we got to blow the whistle when it's due. And also, we can't be calling these fucking illegal screens in fucking last minute of games. Oh. And I know I had the same argument. No, wait, freeze. Pause. I had the same argument before, but that was not an illegal screen. Like, that. Like, that's the biggest difference.
Are you talking about,
like,
the Miles Turner one?
Flies to the ground. Okay. Yes, that was not an illegal screen. Like, you can't just fly to the ground and ask for a call in that situation to get the call. If it's an illegal screen, it is, but it has to be more consistent, and it feels like there has been no consistency with a lot of these calls.
By the rule book, which I don't really understand
what
the rule book, and I'm with you, but by the rule book, the screen setter has to give, like, you know, the defender the ability to move out of the way, whatever that means.
But that's a subjective statement, because he can move out of the way lower. Like, he doesn't have to move out of the way above through the screen. Like, that's not something he has to be getting.
Yeah. I thought that was a shit call. Pacers won the series, so.
They did. But then you look back on the Sixers games, too. It's like, I don't know, when you've had multiple teams, like, filing complaints in a single playoff, like, it just seems like. I'm not saying it's not a little soft, but, like, there is some, like, validity to it.
Like, yeah, say like, something about it. Like, what are you doing filing official complaints? Like, sweet.
I mean, it worked for the Pacers. It seems like it kind of got swung the other way. But
I think
I think the officials have been getting our losers.
Yeah,
here.
I think what you're getting at is a bit of a frustration from the lack of consistency.
Yes.
And, you know, especially in the Wolves series.
Yeah, with Jokic and Gobert.
Is it like Mark Davis?
Yeah.
Is that the guy's name?
I think so.
Who officiated game two. Where, you know, the Wolves played really physical, you know, and they got away with it. And were there some fouls there? Probably in the regular season, yeah, for sure. But then I am assuming that the Nuggets, like, video staff put together a little compilation for the NBA, send it to the league. And then, you know, the next game it was Tony Brothers and he was calling touch fouls, like, just right off the bat in the first quarter, to, like, rein it in or whatever, you know, but it's like, to me, it feels like there could be a happy medium. But again, it's so subjective.
And that's what officiating is, subjective at its basis, you know, and like it is a tough thing to do, but I don't know. It feels like there's been large swings one way or the other. And it just like, I haven't been able to get a grasp on how they're officiating these playoffs, which has been tough.
So I had the viewers from a different angle, which is just like the broadcast crews, the studio crews, like just so many of them are just such garbage. Like I was like thinking in my head, like, would you rather watch NBA Countdown or like Inside the NBA with Draymond, which is like a horrible thing for Inside the NBA, but he just like kills it. Like yeah. He just killed. It's just like, I saw, maybe it was you. You were like, these guys were all still liked when they were players. Like they were shit talkers and stuff, but like they were respected and like people liked them and like thought they were funny and cool. Like, I don't get where TNT gets the idea that people like Draymond or that he provides anything insightful. Like, he's horrible. Like, even after the game 7 where he's like, yeah, they had to take Rudy out. Like, when they made that comeback, like, Rudy was off the floor and he's just, like, blatantly wrong. Like, they
lying.
Made the entire comeback with Rudy on the floor. He has the best plus minus in the playoffs. Like, what?
I agree with that. And also, did you see him talking to Shaq about like the 03-04 Lakers versus like the that peak Warriors
team?
Yeah,
I watched this clip on the way home, actually.
Insane opinions out of that man, dude. Like,
no, I didn't see it.
I don't know. Like, we're getting like the fifth best player on like a dynasty team going and talking about like how good, like, it just feels like he's living in a past in which never happened.
Yeah, it's just, like, unbearable. He's, like, not enjoyable, like, in any sense. Like, the ESPN crews all suck. Like, nobody on that panel's good. Like, Stephen A's there, but he's not.
One of you two tweeted about the Doris Burke, JJ Redick.
Yeah, that was me.
Was that you? Yeah.
I think, so... obviously, I'm still hurt and sad and upset about them taking away Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson. And I actually did like Doc Rivers.
Fine, at least he had, like, credibility.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of funny, you know?
He's fine,
and
yeah.
I just don't, like...
He's personable.
There's just not the kind of humor and flow that goes with...
No.
The JJ Redick, Doris, Breen crew,
no.
I think.
JJ thinks he's just like the smartest person about basketball at all times. And it's like,
JJ needs to stop proving himself. Like, we get it, settle down.
Yeah.
Also, last night, I don't want to say it, Breen was, you know, like kind of all over the place. Like, I don't know if it was because it was so loud, but he, like, 70% of the calls, he just had no idea what was going on.
Oh, really?
But at one point, he was like, yeah, we can't even hear the whistle in here, so I guess maybe that's something.
Huh.
He was a little off it last night.
Yeah. Yeah, quick sidebar on the media deal happening. So pretty much there is reporting that NBC is – approaching a deal with the NBA that would get essentially the TNT package that they have, and then Warner Brothers Discovery that owns TNT gets a chance to match their bid, the NBC bid. The only problem is, for some reason, there's like more channels, I think, or like a larger reach that NBC can do, so the price would be inflated for WBD. This from what I've read, and it sounds like Warner Brothers Discovery is $40 billion in debt right now, just in the red, not looking good. I will say.
Billion?
$40 billion, yes.
Yeah, you can write that.
I don't, you know, the corporate money.
It just doesn't mean anything,
just,
really.
I know, billion. It's completely over my head, but it does seem like NBC is in a better financial state.
Yeah.
The CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery is like, we don't need the NBA. He said that at some point. I don't know if that was like a game or a you know.
I did just see some that sort of play. Like, they did TNT's like broadcasting college football now. So like, I don't know if
what conference.
I don't know. They I think have, it was maybe like
the, where they got like
they the, have some hockey.
The ACC. Well. Like, they do have hockey. They do have hockey.
So maybe we can see Draymond doing some hockey analysis.
Not next college year, football playoff matchups for TNT. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Is that it though? Because that's only in January.
Yeah, I mean, those are still like.
I don't know. So. I would not like to lose inside the NBA, but if it's going to be Draymond Green on that show with, you know, who knows, like, it doesn't really matter who else they put on it. I don't think Vince Carter's that great on that show either, to be honest. He's
mid, yeah.
And I like Jamal Crawford on the call.
He was actually one of my winners. I like really like Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, I think he's good on the call, but I haven't seen him be that great in the studio, to be honest, either.
I need Paul Pierce in the studio.
That is not the same thing. No one's going to do that.
About Dante DiVincenzo.
See him just like storming around Celtics practice, just like walking around, just being like an ass. Just while everyone,
he earned that right. Yeah. He earned that goddamn right.
Okay, I think. Yeah, my last one is poor Carmelo Anthony, man. I think his car.
Who?
Exactly. Like,
never heard of him.
Jokic comes in, takes his number, is a 3-time MVP, 1-time NBA champion. And granted, he, you know, the Wolves beat him, but still, just another MVP season for Jokic. Brunson goes on this insane playoff run and carries his team to the brink of the Eastern Conference Finals. Granted, he didn't get there, so I don't know. Maybe he is a bit of a winner in this because the Knicks didn't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but he's being erased in real time in both cities.
What he needs to do, he needs to suit up for the Olympic team and win another gold medal. To solidify his legacy as the best international basketball player.
I love that. Like, it's like the first thing on his, like, it's like scoring title, gold medalist, baby. Come on.
Yep. Tough. I mean, he was in the league at a tough time when they're just dudes who are just so much better at what he does and then also play defense, you know, and also could shoot three. It's just like, he plays a very pickup style of ball, which is like cool, you know. But he was a little bit too behind his time.
Yeah, the mid post jab step jump shot isn't exactly the most efficient shot, or like what your team wants to be getting into.
He would have gone crazy in the '90s, dude.
Maybe
it would have been absolutely unplayable.
Yeah. So would Jahlil Okafor. Anyway, do we have any other losers?
Yeah.
A couple that are – so, Bronny James. I don't know if we didn't talk about this last time. Bronny, that's tough look. Did you see all the scouts report? Just everyone saying, yeah, he's not ready. He's not going to be anywhere near
– Well, I've seen the opposite. Like
– Well, from the reporters, though, not from the scouts.
Sure. I guess
the scouts are like anonymous and they're saying, yeah, clearly not ready for it. Not NBA talent.
I mean, I had Bleacher Report on my losers because of this bullshit, that propaganda, that ESPN Bleacher Report, like just literally a project to try and get him drafted, like orchestrated by LeBron James. Like,
did you see that clip from
Kirk?
NBA? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, can we stop talking about Bronny James?
Yeah, only him though. Like, yeah,
it's like, per, you know, I sure get up on your soapbox, but talk to your producers, man. You know,
you know, they just don't listen to Perk.
Don't, yeah, they don't care. And so much of the traffic is going towards Bronny James online anyway.
DraftKings has a whole section of bets just about who's going to take it. That
was crazy. Yeah.
Like, that is insane, dude. Like,
yeah, but it's like, at the same time, who's locking in on some Matas Buzelis tape? You know? Like, me.
I drafted him in my NBA team.
Like, I'm a loser, you know?
Yeah.
Can I do my last one real quick? That kind of has to do with the draft. The Hawks. Oof. The Hawks are also in my loser bracket. What a terrible time to get the first overall.
I mean,
pick.
It's not like they want it. The worst.
I don't want it.
So it's like it's basically just moving up. It's not like you're the worst team and you timed being the worst team right now, you know?
So this is me talking myself and just still being okay with the Bulls beating them in that play-in because they got the number one pick from that slot. Alexander Sarr, I mean, what are they can't draft him. What are they going to do?
Why can't they draft
trade him? It for what?
I would take Alex Sarr if I was Atlanta.
Yeah, you could just draft
him. Come on. No, they can't draft him. Uh-huh. They got to trade
just
that pick.
Capella.
Yeah.
Get rid of proven talent for another foreigner where you're unsure
he's
about.
Young.
Proven talent.
I'm buying low on this draft class.
Everyone's 19 nowadays, dude. Everyone's 19. Everyone's
Clint
7
Capella's
foot.
Not everyone 19.
everyone has an 8 foot wingspan. Like, who cares, dude?
Something to that, but
gotta trade that.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
It is a bad draft, though. It is a historically bad draft.
I've got several that I'll just rattle off here.
Just rattle them off.
LaMelo, just look at what he's up to and what Ant's up to.
He ran over a child.
Just look up what he's up to. Julius Randle. Yeah, he's getting sued for running over some kid's foot.
He broke a kid's foot.
Okay, I'm going to look into this after this, but oh my God.
It's literally out on the way out of the arena. He's getting sued because apparently he ran over some kid's foot.
Oh.
In his defense, the kid was like trying to get an
autograph. Well, have you seen the videos of LaMelo pulling out of that arena?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, he's a bad driver.
I've seen those.
He's a bad driver.
It's like, yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Julius Randle just kind of seems like the Knicks franchise is now like building around Brunson and he's kind of on the periphery. The Clippers, I don't know what the hell they're doing. Seems like Paul George might leave. Budenholzer has to do with the Suns. My closet space, because these fucking t-shirts. That's what I was talking about. I'm just like racking up t-shirts. Yeah. Got a Denver Nuggets one. This is the one I was going to
show. Keep it?
Yeah, it's a trophy now. That's a head. Like, just bullshit. Like, this is the.
Yeah, that one's lazy. The one you have on, I like. That one just.
Yeah, the other ones just say, like, Wolves back, which. Yeah, 20 of those. This podcast is a bunch of losers, especially you, Sam, because you can't get me a press pass.
You can't get him a press pass?
I'm sorry. That's on me. I need to work on my connection.
I'm going to start invoicing you for these tickets, dog.
Yeah.
Where's the Take Foul credit
invoice
card?
Invoice Take Foul LLC.
I wonder where I apply. We'll see. I might look into that. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, yeah. Matt Ishbia spells Matt with one T.
Dude, I realized that today. That's crazy.
Stupid.
Kind of sus.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a quick break and move into some winners.
All right. I am sick and tired of the Jason Tatum slander that has been going around. He didn't have the greatest fourth quarter yesterday. Granted, whatever. But he had 10 points in overtime and 36 points overall. Like, it is insane how people are just so quick. And the people, I mean you, Sam. People, as in you, are ready to throw away everything he's done just because he has a slightly better team around him now, and he doesn't have to do everything on his own. I feel like we're just we're just forgetting the history of like all these fucking conference finals he went to with bad rosters, just bad rosters. Just because his team's better now, and people still think he should be needs to put in like 40 a game.
So
my two cents.
Previously, when we had discussed this off air, he had been averaging 21 points a game on and bad efficiency.
Again, that's not in bad
the playoffs. And I think the frustration for me is he's a 6'10 athletic dude, you know, hyper athletic, got a tight handle, extremely skilled, good shooter. And I think there's just an element of him settling a lot for these strange step back threes. I think that, you know, there are moments where he'll fade out of a game when the team needs him. But you're right. You're right. There, he dropped, what, 51 points in a game 7 against Philadelphia. He's been there. He's done that. He's playoff tested. I think, but it's, I think there's a wider Celtics question of can the Celtics respond to getting punched in the face? Can the Celtics be able to tweak how they play and not take a million threes when they're going down? Can they win when their three-point shot isn't going in? Can they get to the rack and, I don't know, run some post-ups? Like, whatever they need to do. And the crunch time offense has been a little ugly, as we saw in Indiana, prior to overtime. And I think that that's kind of all those questions come down to your best player sometimes. And is all of the criticism unjust? No, but it is over the top. Yeah, I agree with you there. And I still think he's a really good player, but some of it is just so true.
And I don't want to dwell on this too long, but like, are we talking about this season? Are we saying like, oh, we like they have issues in crunch time because like they went 5-1 in both series, right? Or are we talking about last season when they lost to like Eric Spoelstra's Heat when he was just throwing like shit at them that they had like that. They were not coached well enough to handle. Like, I do think that seriously, the Heat last year came down to coaching, and I don't think anyone's really going to argue that. Like, I don't think they were – like, the Celtics were by far the better team, but I don't think they were necessarily outplayed, but they were outcoached. This year, they've been – they've outplayed every team that they've seen in the playoffs. You know, like, they got smacked by the Heat one game. They lost to this Cleveland one game. But, like, other than that, like, it has not been close, you know? And I hate Boston. I hate the city of Boston. I hate – everything that has to do with Boston, but people got me out here riding for the Celtics like I've never seen. But like it's making me sick to my stomach.
I mean, they beat the Heat without Jimmy Butler in 5 games. They beat the Cavs without Jared Allen and without Donovan Mitchell for part of it in 5 games, and like.
Do we need them to sweep them? Like, no. The goal is to get it. Everyone else is going to game 7. Like, yes,
and they are the best team in the NBA. I think, you know, there's been a lot made about is the Nuggets Wolves the finals? I'm like, you know, let's pump the brakes on that, I think. You know, I think there's a lot of really high level basketball being played in that series, but. The Boston Celtics exist, and just because they haven't been tested yet, which they might be, you know, they're still the one to beat to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say it is this season that's been, because the record doesn't necessarily reflect the eye test in a lot of different situations.
But it's sometimes. sometimes the eye test doesn't mean shit if they wrapped up the first seed in the West like a month early. Like it's like in the East. They have dominated the Eastern Conference all year long. You know, and it is what it is. Like the first time they played the Pacers this year, they beat them by 50 points and they scored 160 points on it. Like this, I don't know. It just feels like the goalposts get moved for Jason Tatum constantly throughout the year. You know, it's like, and obviously he hasn't won it. Go ahead.
But that's what comes with having continued success in the NBA.
He's never won an MVP.
The scrutiny and the criticism get higher and higher and higher, and the nitpicking gets higher and more and more scrutiny on you. And is it unjust? Yeah, it's not like Anthony Edwards doesn't have flaws to his game, you know, but Ant's new, Ant's young, and there's so much more leeway to that when, you know, with Tatum, he's been to the conference finals over and over again. He's led his team to these great highs, but never got over the hump.
And he had to play LeBron! He had to play LeBron in the conference finals!
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think...
This is just like the cycle where you come onto the scene, like everyone loves you, you don't win a title for like 5 years.
Ah, so you live like long enough to become the villain. Got it. So that's
you become a star, and then they're like, after 3 or 4 years, they're like, wait, is he really a star? He hasn't won a title. Then they're like, is he? Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Then he wins a title, and everyone's like, yeah, he's.
So he's
not done it yet. But
all right. So it's just the question of like, oh, he hasn't actually won it. Like again,
when you're the best player, the number one seed with like the best team in the league by far, you're gonna like. Yeah,
the only star to have won a title other than like Curry and LeBron is Kawhi in the past 10 years, decade, like
what, Jokic, Giannis?
Yeah,
forgot about those.
Let's
two.
Let's move on. Spent too much time on Jason Tatum. I'm gonna start winners because I want to. But this is sort of to your point, Mike. My first winner is the young generation of NBA stars. So that is Jason Tatum. That's Luka. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Even though he got out, I thought he had a phenomenal playoffs. And there were some questions going into the playoffs about, you know, if he's going to hold up, because that was sort of his like first real run, you know. Halliburton, Ant, obviously, and even Jaylen Brown, you know. And a lot of these guys aren't household names. I think if you asked random people on the street about if they knew who Tyrese Halliburton was, it'd be like, no, you know. But the future's bright, so it's a win.
I would agree with that. And I say, like, it's just going to kind of continue to get brighter. Even though I just said this is going to be a terrible draft, which I agree with, like, the skill, like, the level of skill you see at, like, high school, college level is far and beyond the level of skill that you'd see, like, 10 years ago. You know, it's like the skill, like, basketball as, like, a skilled sport, like, it's just keep going hot, like, through the roof. So, I mean, like, obviously, there was that whole done with the 90s stuff that some of us were on a little bit, people shitting on Jordan's left hand, whatever. But eventually, like, people are going to be better than LeBron. Like, there's going to be, like, 7'2" dudes who are just going to be, like, a skill set of Steph Curry. Like, it's going to keep getting better and better. And it's – I don't know if it's necessarily, like it's – people are – like, obviously, we had that long period of LeBron and Curry, but, like, it seems promising. The future's now.
Yep. Yeah, Western Conference shaping up fun. We'll see if they move Wolves out east in a few years. See how that.
You guys don't want in this.
Fingers crossed, bro. Get
you
out of the
you don't want to be in
the East. Yeah, we do.
You don't want to be in the Beast, guys. I'm telling you now. It's a fucking.
Okay. What, Ike?
Yeah. No, Mike.
Oh, me? I would say the winners have been Mavs roles players. They have been way better than I have really gave them credit for. Even though I picked the Mavs to go come out of the West, like they've only been able to be so successful because the guys have been stepping up. And Kyrie has been playing a lot better, but like guys like PJ Washington specifically has been playing the best ball of maybe his career recently. So Mavs role players, huge winners. Huge, huge winners.
Yeah. That was a big question mark.
I think when guys end up on losing teams, a lot of times they get typecast as losing players. And it sort of goes to show that that's not the case. That's, you know, sometimes all you need is an opportunity in a new environment, in a new role. And, you know, even Kelly Oubre, you know, he had a great season with the Sixers. And he was, I think he got picked up on a minimum, you know, and that's how bad his stock was.
Right. That's crazy, actually.
Yeah. That's a good,
Jordan
that's a good
Poole,
one.
Opposite example, kind of. Mike Inouye.
Hell yeah.
Just a fucking beast. I don't know. Just people are finding out. Just happy for him.
He's just happy for him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. There's a little bit of Lakers coach talk, which, you know, obviously I don't want to lose him as a talent in Minnesota, but I also think that's just sort of like suicide, bro.
That's a terrible job. That's a terrible job.
That's like the Budenholzer thing that I had with him as a loser. Like, yeah, go fucking be the coach of the Lakers and have LeBron fire you because, like, you're not friends with him. Or, yeah, I don't know. It's just stupid. Like, no, don't do that, Micah. Yeah,
that's like, and like that, like, I'd rather stay an assistant than that. Like, that's
absolutely. I think, you know, Budenholzer, at least he has the 2021 title to fall back on always for the rest.
Well, I'm just saying he's going into a situation where he knows he's probably going to get fired within like 2 years.
I know. Yeah. It's just like, but it's like,
As someone that would want to
be, you know, a head coach for a long time and like go into that carousel of rotating head coaches with Mike Inouye, you might never get another job again.
There's a lot of guys who like get those jobs to start their career, and then they're seen as like a laughing stock when they get fired and don't.
The minute it goes bad, it's all on you. Like the minute things aren't like that's a bad. Who was the Bucks coach at the start of the year?
Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, like that's a nightmare situation to try to.
Wait. This is good. I have Adrian Griffin as a winner. He's like, look at Doc Rivers' head ass. And it's like, obviously Giannis was injured or whatever, but it's not like they were that good under Doc. I think they were like hovering around 500 the entire time with Doc Rivers.
In the East.
Ouch. And that was an L for Adrian Griffin. So that was a quick one. I have defense. I think you know, there was a bit of shift in discourse after the Nuggets title last year, where they sort of had like a middle of the pack defense and then an elite offense and won the title. Which historically has not always been the case. So there's, you know, been like a renewed, and then obviously with the rule changes, pre-rule changes in the NBA, where we were seeing like 150 to 150 type of games. There's something so refreshing about seeing the Timberwolves lock teams down to 70 points a game, or and even the Mavs, you know, I thought
it's fun to see highlights
defensively. Yeah,
highlights the Magic were playing great D when they were around. Different level.
It's fun to see like highlights of dudes like being insanely intense, like Jaden, like Nikhil. Like it's fun to see national media like celebrating that.
Yeah, the dudes call him Gnaw. Is that real?
Yeah,
Gnaw is real.
N A W.
Yeah, it's Gnaw.
Yeah. Like really, yeah.
All right. I like it.
All right. Non-order.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you
said I was just going to say, I don't like, well, for one, at home during the playoffs, they do like the bum-bum anytime they get like a defensive stop. Like they should stop doing that because of law and order.
That's SVU, isn't it?
It's any law and order.
Oh, okay.
But I don't like Gnaw as like a point guard. Like I hear kind of a lot of that.
Oh, like as a
no, he's a two.
Yeah. He just like whenever like Conley goes out, like you shift Gnaw into the lineup, he's like kind of a point guard, but you also have Ant. So he's like,
wouldn't Ant just be play one then?
If Conley's not Gnaw still does a lot of like the point guard stuff, but like, yeah, it's a little different with Ant on the floor. But like, Mike Conley's like, this team needs a facilitating point guard.
Yeah.
And Gnaw's like a catch and shoot 3-and-D point guard, which is just like
not ideal for playing point, especially with your roster. That kind of goes off to one of my quick ones is this unders. Unders have been huge, huge winners. Unders have been electric. True. Yeah. But my other one has been that wily old grump, Rick Carlisle. I mean, what a grouch, but he is getting it done.
Took the L on his shoulders last night.
Did he? I did not
thought yeah. his press conference. He said that he should have called the timeout on the one where they turned it over, advanced the ball.
Okay. Which one? There's a couple terrible turnovers.
I think the
Siakam one?
Yeah. I think the Siakam one where it got tipped out.
That's
what is he going to say, though? Like, it was actually Tyrese's fault.
Fucking Pascal.
Well, yeah, maybe I know.
Pascal could catch the fucking ball.
I think he's right, though.
I mean, you think 10 years ago, like 10 years ago, he may have said that. He may have just blamed it all on his players. That may show growth.
Like the one for the Timberwolves where Carl, like, threw it, inbounded it, and in game 7 where it got stolen. I was like, just call a fucking timeout.
Yeah,
that was
frustrating. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying the Pacers and Rick Carlisle, like that, like they aren't a great team, but like they just do the little things pretty well, except for yesterday. They did not do the little things well and they cost them the game. But it's like they came down back from like 15-0 out the gate, right? Like it was like they were cooked pretty early on and like they were able to figure it out. I think that's a sign of a well coached side. So we're Carlo. Yeah.
Absolutely. Are we back to Ike?
Did you do one, Sam, before Mike?
Defense. I said Adrian Griffin and defense. Yes.
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian Griffin was a quick one.
I'll say Tim Connolly / Nico Harrison. I think GM of the Mavs, just like two guys who made deals where there was a ton of initial backlash, like with the Kyrie deal and the Gobert deal, where I think like 70% of media and fans were just like initially clowning it and calling it kind of desperation. And
yeah, it's worked. I mean, Kyrie's playing the best basketball he's played in years. Like he has really responded well to his issues off the court he's had. I have not heard him say one thing about Palestine, which is kind of shocking. I thought he'd be all over that. But
what's up with Izzy with his drum?
Subtly liking stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, he's definitely, yeah. But yeah, they've also done like a perfect job with like the role players you said for the Mavericks, and then the Timberwolves have done a pretty incredible job, though I guess a lot of it is predates him, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Tim Connelly definitely won the Tim Connelly Bowl.
Yes.
He was going to win no matter what, but yeah. I have small market teams here. Minnesota and Indiana did not get many national TV games. No secret there. And I don't know how many they ended up with because there were a few that shifted onto Minnesota. I think like away from Memphis or something after it was clear that they were just not going to make the playoffs. But, you know, they didn't believe in us.
No, and I have the city of Minneapolis.
I have a question about market. Do you define market by like the like national recognition or like what is like, what do you consider like a small market? Because like Indiana, like that's like what basketball is Indiana is like what hockey is in Minnesota. You know, it's like it is massive out there. Like,
yeah, that's more like kind of intern. That doesn't really have to do with that because that's not like a national.
So you're saying like the national attitude. kind of perspective of the franchise. Okay,
there's the national perspective of, and then there's like the TV. Just the amount of people that live somewhere.
It's like, you know, people just like, even though Minneapolis, I think, is technically like an average market, just because it's in
the upper half. Yeah.
Everyone just like looks at it and says it's like a small market. No one wants it because it's cold, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yes.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. I think there's a case for, did I see that like the Nuggets Wolves games was one of the most viewed events?
Yeah, game like, 7 was, yeah. It set like a record high for a number of years.
Yeah. For games, like for playoffs?
For individual games. Yeah,
for NBA or just sports?
I think NBA playoffs.
And so, you know, I think things are shifting. Everyone knows it's a global game. And sure, the Lakers will always have global appeal. But as more kids become, like, enamored with individual players as opposed to, like, being a fan of a team, you know, which is definitely a trend that we're seeing amongst the youth. That stuff's gonna matter less. So
yeah, man, y'all got kids in the slums of Brazil chanting about Ant. It's crazy.
R.I.P.
Didn't have to bring up Brazil, bro.
My bad. You're right. Too soon. I got one that kind of goes off that. Anyone who played for or attended a 2010 Minnesota Timberwolves game. They walk so you guys can run in this moment right now. Who was that? Like that was like Corey Brewer.
Go Luke. A few years. Go like 2 years earlier, and it's even worse. Like the Al Jefferson.
Wasn't that like your worst like statistics? Like your least
maybe
wins, though. Yeah.
But like,
yeah, it was worse. Like roster.
Randy Floyd, Al Jefferson, Corey Brewer.
All right, no. Corey of the future. I remember those every time he scored.
Yeah.
The like green and blue jerseys.
We got Michael Beasley.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we got Wayne Ellington, Johnny Flynn, Wes Johnson.
Oh, you guys got some
Costa Kufis. Ooh,
Costa. That's the kind of a roster.
Darko Milicic, Pekovic.
How did you guys only win 13
Anthony
games?
Anthony Randolph. We went 17-65.
Anthony Randolph could have a role.
Kurt Rambis was the coach.
Oh, such a dick.
Anthony Tolliver, right?
Yeah, Anthony Tolliver.
He was a useful player.
Martell Webster.
He came back. Martell. What a player.
Costa Kufis is American? Hold up.
No.
Yeah, he went to Ohio State. Yeah. He's just like from Ohio. I think.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, everything that they
he was said, a really good high school.
And me and Sam and I talked about this a little bit before, like the people coming out of the woodworks a little bit. to support these Wolves when they were not given the two cans of corn for the free tickets at Cup Foods in the day.
That's the type of team this team has always been. Charitable, you know, giving away tickets for next to nothing.
Kicking us out of the lower deck when there were seven people there.
Yeah.
Non-order.
Yeah, Abdul didn't even get to go into the lower deck. They're like,
Nope.
All right. Yep. Moving on. Mike?
I guess. I guess I'll do two, piggybacking on your last one, just the city of Minneapolis on fire right now. Just being around, the energy, incredible. I don't know if you guys saw the stat that the city of Minneapolis had the most new visitors out of any city in the country this past year.
Oh.
I'm banking that on the Timberwolves.
Okay.
Just putting that their way.
Is that included? Never mind. Yeah. Well, I work in Minneapolis. Still hate the city. Will never like that godforsaken city. Absolutely.
Okay.
But it does seem like people are happier. Crime is actually down in Minneapolis over the past 2 months.
That's good.
It's hard not to say that's because of the Wolves.
Yeah.
It's hard not
to say it isn't.
Yeah.
Prove it. My second half to that was Glenn Taylor. You know, the guy, the loss, if he can attach himself to this, you know, successful, even if he loses the court, you know, he can still be a part of this.
I still don't get what's going on completely with all that.
He's just like saw the fact that the Timberwolves are actually good now, and then he was like, no, I don't want to sell.
So did he not sell? Is A-Rod not your owner?
He's like a minority owner. They haven't like purchased enough stakes.
Oh, to Glenn be Taylor, like, yeah, good spot.
But it's in arbitration and it's a huge thing, so
yeah, A-Rod and Murray tried to purchase the last amount of stakes that would make them controlling owners, and then basically Glenn Taylor was like,
I mean, that seems like a smart choice, right?
Well,
how long did he own them?
Yeah.
How long did he own them?
Like 20 years, yeah.
He went through a lot. I think they maybe need to at least give him more money.
Maybe 30.
I think that's probably where it comes down to it.
Like, well, he bought them from someone, I can't remember who, but he saved the Timberwolves originally from moving.
Right.
So he was like well-liked. Then he just proceeded to do just bullshit and like reinforce terrible.
He's bad at his job.
Yeah, he was, you know, a bad owner, you know, that's universally agreed upon.
Who amongst us is sometimes bad at our jobs?
Yeah, who amongst us? He's a successful businessman, you know. That's what successful businessmen do. They try to fuck you. He's good at that, you know. He's shrewd. He's barely alive, too.
Yeah, he really looks like a White Walker, dude.
I saw him at the Denver, or in Denver. He walks around, like, with this one huge security guard. The guy can't move. Like, he can't look sideways. Like, if A-Rod and Lori give, like, 4 to 5 months, they'll probably be fine.
Wait him out. He might just want to see them win.
He wants credit, and he wants to be a part of it, yeah.
But give him the credit and let him be a part of it. He wouldn't
also in Denver. I saw him and A-Rod being like super cordial and like friendly and like smiling. I was like, it was literally the day after.
There's that inside scoop.
Strange.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that scoop that TakeFoul LLC covers right there.
Yeah.
If you had press passes, it'd be close. At the end of the day, like, they're all billionaires, so what they're really going to come down to, right? Like,
A-Rod, you can't be that.
You can't be that
A-Rod
angry.
And Lori might be a little,
yeah,
little broken.
I mean, if
Lori definitely has a billion. He definitely has $1 billion.
You know, I'm going to hope so. If what Glenn Taylor said is true about them, like, not being willing to go into the second apron or whatever exactly he alleged, like he should just use that to spearhead his campaign, and like all of Minnesota would be on his side.
Yeah,
but being on
like, that's the only
try to do that.
Well, he put it out there, but he should just be like that. He should hammer that point home.
I'm not sure if it's well.
I don't know.
We shouldn't get too far hung up on this. Right? We shouldn't get too far hung up on this. It was one of the budget proposals that was put forward. It doesn't mean it was the budget proposal.
Yeah, it's not necessarily true. I'm just saying, as like a PR person for Glenn Taylor. That should be
that would be your
yes.
I would agree. All right, let's move forward from the Taylor Wolves drama.
No protesters either.
Quick one.
I only got like go ahead.
I have Team Canada as a winner.
No,
as always.
What? No. Hey. They all lost.
Exactly.
Oh, they're ready. Oh shit!
Yeah,
who's playing?
Ant and Tatum, like, and you know, all these American guys who are going to be pivotal might be cooked. You know, they got Shea, Dort, and Jamal Murray all getting out early. Gonna be able to rest those legs for the Olympics. You got Nikhil Alexander.
Dort is gonna be a menace.
You got Nikhil Alexander Walker. Playing as a bit of a double agent, spying on Ant.
That team should be better than they have been.
They're losers because they can't figure it out.
Like, how can't they figure it out? Like, they have like a good roster. It's not even just like it's like a good roster.
Edie's Canadian, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Sar Canadian?
Alexander? No, he's French.
Oh, okay, whatever.
The frog, yeah.
Team Canada getting out early, plotting early.
I just have two last ones. Josh Giddey, winner, end the season. Yeah, he got out of this. Somehow he escaped this season without.
That guy should have been at the top of my losers list. Like,
yeah,
but like, if you think about what he did versus like what ended up happening, like he's.
Yeah, I mean, he got clear to that a while ago. He just gave her.
What do you
like,
mean clear?
A million.
Wait, what do you
he
mean
gave her a million legally?
Yeah. I mean, like she didn't. They didn't press chart. Like they didn't come out and say that they had sex. Yeah, but this man is a pedophile, and it's like nothing happened. That sounds like he won that situation.
It's true. He played like such shit in the playoffs, and all anyone talked about was how shit he played.
Yeah, and no one talked about him being a pedophile. My other one was being white passing. I still don't believe that dude has there's no shot. King. Yeah. There is
our
zero shot.
Skin king.
Like, I've watched that clip 75 times. I've like, looked into his past. There's no chance that man's father's black. Beyond seeing his father, that's where I cut my research off. I've only looked at him and his mom. But that man is a white man. But that's it.
That's a proud black man. Ike?
I had, like, Kendrick Perkins. I just like what he's been on recently.
Yeah, people
aside
been
from all the Timberwolves. But...
He's the voice of the people, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of his, like, more outlandish-ier stuff is starting to, like, hold true. It's, like, a little bizarre. Yeah, that's a good one. I have two Timberwolves quickly. Rudy Gobert, you know, always was talked about getting played off the floor in the playoffs. That didn't happen. You know, plus
going off
111,
that,
best plus minus in the playoffs in the NBA.
That was a career defining half, second half he had.
Oh, absolutely.
That shot, that step back shot that went like 35 feet in the air, like
I gasped, I screamed.
That plus minus two is also like missing that however many points they won by in game two against Denver.
There. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. He has the best even missing like a 20 point win.
Yeah.
Well, weren't they better without him?
Well, he has the best plus minus in the playoffs, so no.
But they won by like 30 without him.
Yeah, but they won by 30 with him. I'm saying even without being a part of him, that shows you like how stark the difference is, because every other player also got the plus 30 there, and he didn't.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And then the other Timberwolf I had is Carl, who has, you know, been ridiculed a lot and called a non-winning player, just defensive called a bad defender, and unreliable. And he's he dispelled a lot of those with his play in the series, and I thought he had a really great series against the Nuggets, and shifted a lot of the ways that he is viewed. Yeah.
I thought he was fine. I don't know. I still have my ups and downs with him. It's like,
yeah, I mean, it's not like, like, he's not, he hasn't completely changed everything, you know? Like, he still is getting into foul trouble. Like, he'll still have like a weird turnover or sort of just like barrel into people, you know? He's not perfect, but I think that a lot of the questions of like him shriveling up into nothing as he has in the past in the playoffs, that stuff is gone for me.
Yeah, I think the difference now is like he's a lot more productive to winning. Like, instead of being like a star who's kind of like just a stats guy, like everyone is kind of appreciating how he's like affecting winning and like playing defense and doing the right stuff, as opposed to maybe getting like 30 points and 10 rebounds every game. Like,
I think that's fair. And something I will admit to, and again, hand up, best abilities, accountability, they were probably right for drafting him over Jahlil Okafor, like I had suggested they did.
Yeah, I mean, there's either that or like the LaMelo and Ant thing. Like,
No.
I'm not saying you.
I said Jalen sucks. Second team all defense. Jalen sucks.
Even worse, maybe.
No, that's a different draft class.
Yeah.
No, Jalen Suggs and
Ant's and LaMelo? Older, isn't he?
No, they're all the same year. No. I was saying you guys should have drafted
Paolo.
No.
No? Wait, no. Suggs was Mobley.
No, Suggs was Ant. Suggs was the third pick after fucking it went or fifth pick. Wiseman and LaMelo, Ant and Suggs.
Yeah, Wiseman.
I don't think so.
Because you guys could have drafted him, and I was saying you guys need to draft him, and you guys did not draft
him.
Well,
we were in those top five picks a lot, so.
That might be fair. But beyond that, I do think I harbor a little bit of disdain for Cat because he got cooked by Frank Kaminsky in this Final Four back in, what was that, like 2013 or whatever? Well, and I'll just never
forget. Quickly.
Yeah.
It was 2021. Cade, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, so we weren't even in.
Oh,
and then I don't know Josh what. Giddey.
Maybe I was saying you should trade up. I don't know why I thought it was Suggs, but all right, never mind. Was that the year after Ant then?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have any more?
That's all I got.
Okay.
You talked about Kyrie a little bit, right? Kyrie's playing.
Yeah. I think one loser I left off. Jamal Murray, you can't throw shit onto the fucking court, you fucking loser.
Oh, my God. People need to get over that. Were you calling for his fucking suspension? So that's an insane.
No, I was not calling for a suspension. I wasn't calling for a suspension, and I understand, like, your attitude about the overreaction to it. I still think it's fucking loser shit.
It is loser shit, but like people
say, I mean, how I'm
not saying he's a bitch. I'm not saying he's not a bitch, but like he threw a heat pack onto the ground.
Mike, if in our men's league, if you were like playing center, like down low in the post, and one of their players starts throwing shit into the post while you're like going, you would have lost your mind. I know that for a fact.
All right, nothing happened. No one stepped on it. Nothing happened.
That's fine, but even if someone did that to you, you would lose your mind.
Me? I've never. No.
Yes.
I'm a level-headed.
Be justified. Like, what are you, 12 years old?
All right, whatever. Wrap us up, Mike.
Mike, anything to finish?
Yeah, so we...
No. Okay. I got something.
All right.
Team 651 took a brutal loss in the playoffs this week. There's really no defending it. We forfeited.
Only had three guys available. I had class. I was out due to a shoulder.
Yeah, just the worst way to go out, man.
Oh, Ben Petty ankle. Because of a shoulder.
Yeah.
Dude, I think I fucking nearly tore my labrum. My shoulder has been on fire.
Brunson not playing because he fractured his hand.
That fucker out of here.
If I had the ability to shoot.
All right, Sam, let's wrap it up.